Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Football Friday the 13th. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, 1080am.com, youtube.com/1080am the fan, twitch.tv/1080am. Gosh, we got it all, man.
We're everywhere, man.
We got Civil War coming up. It'll be mañana, 12:30, right here on The Fan. Pre-game coverage starts at 6 a.m. with the center and the saint. The center in that group, or I guess he's the saint. I guess Will Darkins is the saint.
I don't think it's clear these days anymore.
Yeah. Luke's the center. He always has been.
Back in the day when it was Luke and
so I guess,
Keith Hill.
I guess, by default, Will Darkins is the saint. That's a stretch.
That's terrifying.
But former Oregon State Beaver Will Darkins is going to be on the air at 6 a.m. And we're leading you up all the way to a 12:30 kick. Dirt and Q are going to take the air at 10 a.m. Or excuse me, my gosh, 8 a.m. and take you to 10:30, where network coverage will start leading you up to a 12:30 kick down at Research Stadium. First road game for the Oregon Ducks. It'll be interesting to see how they react. They have flirted with disaster and found success at home through the first 2 weeks. But going on the road, especially a hostile environment, it's going to be a different beast, man. It'll be a far different animal when you go to Research Stadium tomorrow.
I am going to be interested to see what that environment looks like down there. Genuinely, I'm sitting here going, what does this look like? Is it a level of hostility that really rings out? Is it louder than it was in the past because of the vitriol and the new stands? And I really hope it's nasty as hell. Genuinely.
Yeah.
I know there's Beaver fans out there that are really just torn and they shouldn't play this game. Bleep the Ducks, blah, 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 blah. Turn it into tackling fuel.
Sorry. That's all sour grapes, little brother syndrome.
I mean, just turn it into another reason you hate them. That's more fun.
And this game is going to be kind of what most of this rivalry has come down to, which is which team runs the ball better. I mean, you have a wealth of skill guys on the outside for Oregon. Dylan Gabriel has been wildly efficient. We saw him uncork the deep ball last week against Boise State, connecting on a couple, missing on two. But this game comes down to who can run the ball better. And which front stands up on the defensive side, too. Oregon State, through the first 2 weeks, They have seen a lot of pass happy attacks playing from behind for San Diego State, pretty much led to that for the majority of the game. But this will be who can run the ball better. And for Oregon, it has been self-inflicted wounds have gone a long way with their struggles offensively running the football. And Dan Lanning talked about that yesterday on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
You know, I think the biggest thing is we've shot ourselves in the foot, a couple times when we've had, successful plays going and they get called back because of a penalty here or miscommunication here. So it's certainly something you have to be a successful team. And we'll see what it looks like on Saturday. Our guys have done a good job this week in practice. It's got to carry over to the games, though.
It will be really interesting to see what rotation on the offensive line we see, how much rotation we do see on the offensive line. Lanning said on his Monday night press conference, we have always kind of worked in rotations, and they have. Like, he's not blowing smoke. But finding the combination that fits is this year's message and key, where in years past, it was fresh bodies, and all of them were playing assignment football, and they had good chemistry and continuity. I really do think in the second half, Oregon did find a rotation and a group that worked, going left to right with Josh Connerly, Nishad Strother, Poncho Laulu, Marcus Harper at right guard, and then right tackle Ajani Cornelius. When you run for 93 yards and a half, you're doing something right. And it will be interesting for me to see what that rotation looks like heading into this game, which group is out there first, which group plays the longest, how many snaps of true rotation we do see. Because the expectation was last week that Matthew Bedford, the Indiana transfer, would be back. Where does he fit in to that offensive line rotation? Whether it is at a starting position, which most people expected him to be at entering the year, or as a backup in rotation, how many snaps do we see of him? Those things are at the forefront because you cannot beat this Oregon State team without running the football. Full stop. Like, that is what every single one of these rivalry games comes down to. That is a successful marker of every team that goes on the road and wins is running the football. And the Beavs have been very good up to this point. But I think for Oregon running the ball offensively, it's paramount because it's been framed as like Oregon is this scary monster up front on the defensive side of the ball that nobody can penetrate. That hasn't been the truth. Mm. I thought they've played really well, but especially in the Boise game, and not allowing the big chunk yards against Idaho on the ground. But it's not like there haven't been yards to be had.
Sure.
And for Oregon State, with Jam Griffin and Anthony Hankerson, they have been outstanding.
They have two really good running backs. They have a good offensive line. They've got an NFL guy on that line that you can run behind. I mean, their identity is going to be in this game. How do we keep Oregon's offense off the field? Because they did start to show that they had figuring things out, like you said, in the second half, both on the ground and with Dylan Gabriel. They've got weapons on the explosive side that we saw with Holden breaking the 59-yarder last week. Like, Oregon State's recipe for winning in this matchup has always been grind ducks to dust. Well, how many times did they run it 2 years ago in a row?
My 22?
Yeah, it was somewhere, in the 19, 20, 20. Yeah.
That's the recipe. And that's when they had more skilled players on the outside. Now you know exactly what it's going to be. And I'm very interested to see just how Oregon reacts and how proactive they are in containing all of
that. And with all of that being said, if Oregon doesn't shoot themselves in the foot, Bill Connolly of ESPN, he has been saying Oregon's offense is one of the most efficient in college football. They move the ball down the field, and they don't have a lot of negative plays. Where the negative plays happen are crippling for them.
Turnovers. Unforced turnovers.
Well, it's sacks and penalties on first down plays that have killed them. Mm. The Patrick Herbert fumble, yeah, absolutely. That's one where you go, goodness gracious. You know, a guy who does not fumble, you're marching the ball down the field. You're going to, in that drive, in that situation, they were getting yards, not just in grinding it out. They were getting yards in chunks.
Yeah.
And they had been getting yards in chunks. It was on the heels of a Tez Johnson punt return. And then that you were going to go up 14 points in that game. Boom, you fumble right there. That is a self-inflicted wound. You had sacks getting you behind the sticks. That is a self-inflicted wound. You have penalties where Noah Whittington squirts out to the outside, picks up a first down. Boom. You back it up 10 yards. You're behind the sticks again. Mm-hmm. Self-inflicted wounds. If Oregon plays you don't have to play a perfectly clean game. If you clean up half of the mistakes that we've seen with Idaho and Boise State, then we're looking at this completely differently. But they haven't showed that they could do it through the first 2 weeks. And that is kind of the message that Oregon has got to be pounding home is we cannot continue to go down this road time and time again. Play to the strengths of your offensive playmakers. Play to the strengths of your offensive line. And maybe this Oregon team doesn't look like the Oregon team that we have seen in years past with Bo Nix behind center. Your quarterback has a different skill set. Your offensive line are tailored differently. You have a depth of weapons on the outside. Maybe it does look a little bit different this week in kind of finding your rhythm over the course of 60 minutes.
It's only been 2 weeks. Do you think the Ducks have an identity yet?
No.
Is that the biggest thing that needs to come out of this week besides a win? Is they need to have an identity. Going into week four,
it just needs to be clean.
Kind of weird.
Well, they have a bye week next week, so you need to be clean. You've got to be clean.
Mm.
I think that with that comes your identity. And it has always been run first, right? Because think of all these drives that have kind of stopped. And I think balance with Will Stein has always kind of been at the forefront, right? It's not like Chip Kelly where it is establish a run, soften them up, play action over the top. And it's not, you know, Chip's identity was obviously speed, run the football, take your shots deep over the top, right?
Yeah.
We saw Mario Cristobal's identity was run the ball between the tackles, then run the ball between the tackles, and then run the ball between the tackles, and then maybe let your top five quarterback throw the ball
occasionally
downfield, right? With Will Stein in last year, it was we are going to use balance. We are going to keep you on your heels with an RPO game where we always have an answer to you, and there's always the offshoot. And you saw Boise State did a really good job of taking away a lot or attempting to take away a lot of the underneath stuff that Idaho had. And what did Dylan Gabriel do? He adjusted. When you take away the underneath, there were the shots downfield, right? And those were open, and those were being connected on. And there was also Dylan Gabriel used his legs a little bit more against Boise State, which was good to see because with the layering of the offense, with the way that they have the options available to you, it is we have a beater built in at some level of this defense or offense towards the defense. It's also in the run game, too, with tagging the RPOs on both sides, right? You have man beater on one side RPO, zone beater on the other side with the RPO if the run game number count doesn't tell you you should hand the ball off. Like, there are options with everything they do. Sure. It is not shooting yourself in the foot, whether that is making the incorrect read, making the incorrect line call, or penalties.
If they squeak out of this and they turnovers. Shoot themselves in the foot again, you're worried, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because then you're sitting there.
Your identity is that you can't screw it up.
That's a quarter of the season, and that becomes that's a discipline issue, right? And, you know, that's the far tougher thing to clean up, right? Right now, it's like you're looking at going correctable mistakes, but correctable mistakes turn into a trend and they turn into your identity really quickly as a team. That's why it's been kind of flirting with disaster, finding success. That's what I've called these first two games. But you think of three games over a 12-game season, quarter of your season. It's a pretty good indicator
of a sudden,
you're at.
Thankfully, you do have the bye week where maybe Dan Lanning visiting the doctor gets real toxic, and I imagine it would.
Yeah.
At least you've got that.
Yeah. I mean, the panic meter's still low because you sit there and you go, all right, did we see a lot of the same mistakes from week one as we did in week two? No, but you found new ones.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're finding new ways to screw up, that becomes a problem. It's like, oh.
And that simplifies things for Oregon State, though, because for Oregon State, it's not like you have this behemoth that is a top five team coming in that has just been a buzzsaw through teams mm-hmm. and like hot knife through butter. It is, if we play our game and we play consistently, because that has kind of been the beacon of Oregon State mm-hmm. through the first 2 weeks, is they've been consistent yeah. in everything they do. If we play with consistency and there's variation on the other side, that gives us a chance.
It opens things up.
Gives you a chance. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think Oregon State fans and this Oregon State team should have a lot of optimism about what's coming in at Reser Stadium tomorrow. Is that
a sold-out Reser?
Yeah, they announced that. So standing room is sold out then, yeah, too? Because they said they sold out late last week?
They just pushed the sold out.
Perfect.
On the account.
So. It'll be, so that means every seat in that building is gone. Which it's going to be fun, man.
Good.
Well, yeah. I mean, this rivalry deserves to be sold out. 35,000 tickets.
No.
It should be sold out. It should be the biggest game in Reser Stadium.
Yeah.
Done. Full stop. Like, I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a great environment. I think it could play out to be a really good game tomorrow. Yeah, I'll be on the sidelines. So if you see me, if you're a Duck or a Beaver, just yell at me.
Throw a tortilla at him.
No, don't. Don't throw
Make sure you get it wet first.
No, don't. Don't do that.
Just soak it in the cup.
No.
Reese's makes tortillas, don't they?
Mm. Make burritos.
Mm. Ooh, frozen burritos.
No, do not throw frozen burritos.
Their potato salad is delightful, especially the deviled egg version.
Oh, it is tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. That's got some good girth to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Old Reser.
Throw that.
Really good. Hey, you want to go to the winner side of last night's Thursday night game?
Yeah, let's talk some football.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
That was a dominant performance mm-hmm. by the Buffalo Bills.
In a weird way.
And an even bigger question mark for the Miami Dolphins next on The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them? Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
31-10. That was a beatdown, my dude.
Yeah, that was not much of a game. It was over with relative ease.
Yeah. And it was prior to Tua's injury, which is rightfully getting all of the attention out of this game.
Speaking of injuries, why was A-Chain still out there plugging and chugging late in the game?
Oh, because the Toradol shot was still working. Oh,
okay.
Duh.
Well, I see Waddle and Hill on the sideline. I'm like, A-Chain was like a game time decision. Why is he out there?
Yeah, all I'm going with is Tordal still working for him, dude. Tyreek Hill, how about that? Like Kirk Herbstreit laid into
him. down.
But no, Herbie laid into him late in that broadcast about the way he was acting and not watching the game, just sitting at the on the bench, kind of BSing and having a looking like he was just disconnected from everything that was going on. That I was not expecting that from Kirk Herbstreit last night. I also wasn't expecting. If you want to know exactly how Miami felt about that, look no further than that drive right before the half, where the Miami Dolphins have, 3:40 on the clock when they took possession, and they had zero sense of urgency to try and score any points at the end of the half. Like, Mike McDaniel, in the lack of urgency, when they're like at the 50-yard line and there's a minute 24 to go, and he's just like letting the clock kind of wind down, and then they cross the 50 and he's like, oh, shoot, I guess we better burn our three timeouts here. That was one of the more mysterious things of that game, and it told me everything I needed to know about how he felt about his team's ability to stop Buffalo and what they were doing to Tyreek Hill, especially to take him away. Miami didn't have an answer.
No.
They didn't have an answer, and Mike McDaniel didn't have an answer, because at that point, you should be doing everything you can to get points on the board, because it was
still at least kind of a game. It was 24-10 at that point?
Well, no, it was 24-7 because they kicked a field goal on that drive. It was 24-7, and you're going, dude, if you score a touchdown here, you're going into the half 24-14. That's not insurmountable with the weapons that you have. Yeah. But it just looked like they were lost. And it looked like he was lost in his play calling and his defense, especially, because
lost in the sauce.
My goodness, Josh Allen was a dude last night.
And the thing was, like, you look at his stats, it's not eye-popping. 13-19, buck 39, touchdown, ran for two carries for two yards. But the throws that he made, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are the same dude in that they're going to roll to their right. You know they're going to roll to their right. And it does not matter because they both have cannons and the entire field is still open.
Yep.
And the throw that Josh Allen had rolling up to the right, gets to the sideline, throws a rope up the field for the touchdown. It was like,
uh-oh.
How do you make that throw? Because he just plants and just kind of pushes forward and just throws what throw that maybe three guys in the NFL can make.
Yeah.
Right on a dot. And you're just like, okay. I guess, you know, I'm sure if you're the Dolphins, you're sitting there going, you think you've got him. Yeah. You think you've taken away everything, because there's no way he's going to make that throw.
Nope, and he did.
And then he throws him open to the inside, into the end zone. You're just kind of like, well, crap.
And so much of that was opened up by James Cook. James Cook, we talked about this with the Boise State thing, right? And the Idaho games when we're talking about Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
What sudden change will do to you, what a fourth down stop does to a defense. James Cook's 49-yard touchdown run, that came right after Miami goes for it on fourth down. Defense stuffs him. First play, James Cook, 49 yards, touchdown. That sudden change, that deflation that happens when your team turns a ball over, it's monumental. Mm-hmm. It's at every level of football, and it is monumental. And it happens in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It happens in college. It happens in high school.
It's the immeasurable statistic. It is momentum, or the hot hand in the NBA in basketball. It is something you cannot quantify, but it is there. It does not matter whether you believe in it or not. It is there.
It is one of the things I despise the most about Mario Cristobal, is that he just didn't believe in momentum. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it's real.
Yeah.
It is the most real thing of all time.
Immediately, it was a 21 dive, and it's instead of taking something, trying to capitalize on it. And watching that game, and really watching the Bills in the first 2 weeks, they are the little engine that could. They do not have the otherworldly talent other than Josh Allen on the offensive end. But the collection and the sum of who they are the chippiest chip on the shoulder team I have seen in the NFL through the first 2 weeks. I'm interested to see if anybody else kind of has that coming out of Sunday, coming out of Monday. Because right now, the Bills are playing I hate making this comparison because people are going to hate it because of who I'm making it to. USC is a less talented team than they were by a pretty substantial margin. They look better than they have looked in years because I think they had to come together. And I think you're seeing the exact same thing with the Bills right now. That if they, because if they don't come together, if they don't maximize every little bit that they have, they're just not going to be that team. And yep. So you see, like, Von Miller was a terrorist last night. And how old is he now?
36. My favorite part, Von Miller wearing on the bench a signed Von Miller hat. He signed his own hat. And people are like, what is he wearing that for? That's actually a great move by him because that gives him the opportunity for when he leaves the field, take his hat off, throw it to a kid.
Yep.
And he doesn't have to stop to sign any more autographs. Nope. He can just find somebody, give the hat to him. Really cool.
I think it's a great idea.
That's awesome.
I think more players should sign hats before they go on the field.
Yep. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. Yeah. Really cool. But he looked amazing too. And his pass rush, mm-hmm. they brought up like in Amazon with their
AWS, the tracking stuff.
The tracking stuff is so cool. He was getting the 2. Biggest 1. Jump and best burst off the line that he's had in years.
In
like
3 years. It was the best jump he's had since 2021. He was getting to the quarterback on his pressures in 2.1 seconds.
Pretty
that is. Look, man, in the NFL, what's the clock? How long do you have?
You have about 2.5.
Okay. Which means he's getting there even faster.
Yeah. I mean, getting there before you can get that ball out.
Yeah. That's for a guy that age, and then you throw in Ed Oliver, who continues to be that, and they're doing this without Matt Milano. They obviously lost Jordan Poyer to the Dolphins. Like, they
Terrell Brandon in, or Terrell Brandon. Brandon Terrell injury is going to, it's going to loom large for them. Like, that's going to be a big one moving forward because you take another hit, but they looked the damn part last night. They really
and they have
do.
For 2 weeks.
How many quarterbacks in the NFL right now would you take over Ryan Tannehill? Mahomes, obviously.
I mean, over Josh Allen?
Yeah, after did I say Mahomes?
You said Tannehill.
Oh, Tannehill. I have Ryan Tannehill up here.
Yeah.
Because you need to bring Ryan Tannehill back.
Yes, you do. You do.
Miami needs
to. You do.
That's something that would never happen. But he's the only like free agent. Everybody's saying Tom Brady. Like, bring Brady back. Have the.
You already had to pay the fine.
You already did it. It's not tampering anymore. Yeah. But you're going Ryan Tannehill is probably he's the best free agent available. Outside of that, you're either going to roll with Skylar Thompson or you're going to trade for
Jameis.
A backup somewhere.
And Jameis can't be traded because he's going to be their starter next week.
Do you go like Jameis? Do you go Pastrnak? Do you go Josh Dobbs and say be our band-aid for us? Mm. Drew Locke, Giants are going to give up Drew Locke.
I saw somebody say the Dolphins were terrible for not investing in a backup quarterback. If you're a great team or you aspire to be a great team, you shouldn't invest in a backup quarterback because if you lose your quarterback, you're done anyways.
Yeah, you are done. And
like, it's just that simple. Like the whole idea that you need to spend like $8 million on a backup quarterback, it's such a dumb idea.
No. Okay, but
I thought Quota was about Peyton Manning and for planning when he, you know.
Yeah, Gruden asked.
And he said, look, if 18 goes down, we're effed. Yeah. And you don't game plan for effed.
Yeah. No, yeah. It is genuinely perfect. If your team is built around a high-priced quarterback, like the Miami Dolphins, like the Buffalo Bills, it does not matter. If your quarterback is gone for 6 weeks or more, it doesn't matter. Your season's over.
Yep. I look at this and I go, with the way that Buffalo played in that game too, the way that they are built right now, Joel S. says on the YouTube chat, addition by subtraction with Stephon Diggs.
That's what I mean. The way they've come together.
I don't think we're seeing that yet because Keon Coleman, no catches. Getting a lot of attention, no catches. They're bottling up a lot of the guys, but I think that might be the most impressive part is that they dominated the Miami Dolphins on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still working through it. And like that's where I go to Josh Allen and I go, his mastery of what they're doing, his connection that he has with Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator now, and the rhythm that they're in, how many guys in the NFL would you take over Josh Allen? Because he doesn't have that receiver anymore. They're working through it and they're 2-0 right now.
And I think that's the impressive
in the driver's
thing.
Seat.
If you're asking me right now, it's Mahomes and that's it.
Yeah,
because I've always been a Burrow guy. We talked about this last year. Like if I can't have Mahomes, give me Burrow. Josh Allen is showing he does not need the elite weapon. It sounds so stupid and so corny. He's a gamer.
Yeah, Joe Scheisty is also you know, the water bottle video that came out.
Oh, I mean,
picking up that water bottle. He's still getting used to that wrist thing.
Yeah, he's flexing that wrist.
Yep.
Like, that's, he downplayed it, but yeah. There, it's not just a water bottle. There's another one where it cuts to him over on the side, like walking to the sideline after a drive, and he's flexing his wrist. It's like, dude, it's very clear. Like, I get why he wants to downplay it, because what's going to happen is somebody's going to reach for it, smack it, go for it. They're going to test it as much as they can, because if you're on the field, that's the way it goes. But everybody knows.
Right now, I think it's Mahomes and Josh Allen, though. Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm 100% right there. Now, Burrow can, you know, come right back to that throne real quick. We've seen what he's capable of doing.
Yeah.
But Josh Allen is doing this, and it is.
And then Drake May, probably.
Mm.
Right?
Josh Allen doing this. I'm just going to let that sit out there for you. Josh Allen doing this without a Travis Kelce. Without the security blanket,
like, yeah, it's crazy.
I'm really interested. Why Kincaid and Knox have not gotten more looks? It's been very interesting.
Take away, everybody knows that's what you need to take away right now.
Then you would expect Keon or somebody else. I guess
Marquez Valdez Scantling, who he got open and Allen missed him.
Yeah,
that was a bad throw. But not all of them are going to be perfect. Yeah, that Buffalo team, man, they looked apart right now, and they're still working through stuff, which is probably a scary proposition for everybody else across the NFL.
There's just something about them. It's not like Team of Destiny type stuff, but there's something about them where you're like, I'm picking up what they're putting down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's because he's a pistachio farmer, you know?
Mm.
Just Josh Allen. Just his country roots, which Al Michaels said, you know, country it's roots. That kind of game when that's what we're talking about. It's like, thank you, Al.
Thank you for bringing this in.
You may have lost your fastball, but that curve, it's still got good. Some bender on it, dude.
Still that 12-6. Nice. Come up on our worst day on the
Mike Maddox, that thing out there.
Oh, yeah.
Or Greg Maddox.
Greg Maddox. I know what you're going with.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, when he went out there.
Well, and probably Mike Maddox, too.
There you go. Coming up next on our worst day on the web, how to be a scumbag teammate. But first, it's Big Kahuna Sports and Update.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
You know, there's a sliding scale of scumbaggery. This is up there pretty high. Yesterday or last night, I say Jeff Passan of ESPN broke that the Twins had cut one of their minor league catchers who they had just drafted. He was the sixth round pick in July for the Minnesota Twins, the 188th pick overall. Derek Bender, during a game, he was telling opposing hitters what pitch was coming. And if it wasn't scummy enough that he was doing that, he was doing that because they were in the middle of a playoff chase and he didn't want to go and he wanted to be done playing for the season.
Yeah, this is career-ending type stuff.
Yeah, who touches you after this?
A sixth-round pick is something that you can... they think you have big league potential in this as a sixth round.
Yes, like they think you're going to make it to the show.
And this is... So he's been playing baseball since... late February is when the college baseball season starts, mm-hmm. gets drafted in July. He's going through the season, and he's in the single-A affiliate,
mm-hmm.
right? They're playing the Lakeland Flyers in this game. He's playing for the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles. What great minor league name.
Mighty Muscles.
Mighty Muscles versus the Flying Tigers.
And I've actually seen the logo. It's like a clamshell with, like, biceps.
That's what I'm talking about. But... as he is going through the game, he's the catcher. He's telling every hitter exactly what pitch is coming. Lakeland scored 4 runs in the second inning and won 6-0 to clinch the West Division of the Florida State League. And that eliminated his team from postseason contention. This is some of the...
This is nasty work. That's what it is. Nasty work.
It is some of the lowest of the low when you're talking about doing that to your teammates. And apparently, the only reason why Fort Myers and the Twins found out about this is because Lakeland's manager called them after the game and was like, hey, look, you got a problem.
Like, look, we appreciate what they was doing for us. Like, we weren't banging trash cans. It was your own guy selling us out. And, well, we didn't tell you until after the game because, well, you know.
Yeah. And so before they cut him, they sent him and just said, we're parking your ass. You're a bullpen catcher now. We're not. You're not in the dugout. You're not playing. We are sending you to become a bullpen catcher. And now he's been outright released by the Minnesota Twins. I don't know if I've ever heard of anything like this. Now, I did some digging on this dude, and apparently he's a different cat. He's a different bird, wired a little bit differently. He was a, and this doesn't, I mean, all of these things are, it just, he just doesn't fit the mold of a baseball player, kind of bucks the trends of all of it. His minor in college was women in gender studies, which is cool. That's good. He was a band kid in high school. He was and I was looking at this from Mojo Hill. It said he was a terrible little league player and he loves hockey, but doesn't know how to skate. That was like this guy on Twitter who covered the Cape Cod League was just trying to give a framework of like who he is, which is not your stereotypical, you know, meathead catcher in baseball, mm-hmm. right? He's a guy who is a different thinker, kind of is a Renaissance man of sorts.
Sure.
And so, like, even his teammates have said, like, yeah, he's a different bird. Like, he's cut from a different cloth than most baseball players are. Yeah. But nobody does this.
No, this is the kind of thing where you don't actually enjoy baseball. This is...
Yeah.
To make this local, I certainly didn't make any friends with him by saying this. Mo Harkless, as a Blazer, was always a guy who just happened to be good at basketball.
Yeah.
He didn't actually care that much about basketball. And that's actually not a totally uncommon thing in professional sports. You're just so good at something. You're so athletic. It's like, well, I can make money doing this.
Yeah.
And that's what this sounds like. This guy's like, yeah, I mean, I can do a thing that
he's really good.
Nobody else in the world can do really at this level. So I'll go make the money because he got $300,000.
Yeah.
He got a $300,000 bonus that was all guaranteed. It's all his. And he gets to keep that, by the way. I just don't know how you come back from this.
So he played in, when I was doing my little digging on him, he played in the Cape Cod League, which mm-hmm. is the most competitive summer.
Yeah. Preparatory league.
College yeah. league. It's like the Portland Pickles, but it is the best players from around the country go to Cape Cod and they play. In the Cape Cod League, he started his Cape Cod League with 17 for 30. He stole 18 consecutive bases before getting caught.
A catcher.
Hit for the cycle. And he was on the Cape Cod League championship team. Like he had, like, to your Mo Harkless kind of correlation, he has every single skill mm-hmm. that you could ask for from a guy. Plus speed for a catcher, can rake, is kind of like, that's what the Twins were looking at in like sixth round pick. Consistency, probably not his strong suit, right? Played in a really good program at Coastal Carolina, mm-hmm. and he gets to minor league baseball, and in his first season does this. Yowzas, dude.
For a team to invest a sixth round pick and to just be outright cut him.
Yeah. That's gnarly.
That is just.
And I don't know what team kind of picks him up either.
Somebody will, Astros. Because they sit there and they go, hey, well, how can we capitalize on this? Because it's the same way.
I think that's more of an Orioles move now that their front office all works for the Orioles now.
That's true.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
Backup Adley Rutschman. Good luck seeing the field.
They helped facilitate the Kevin Porter Jr. trade because it got them something in return.
Yep.
They just don't care.
Now, this is a scumbag move. There, a couple of his former teammates have gone to bat for him
mm-hmm.
from Coastal Carolina. And as we talk about the head scratching and like truly cardinal sin number one in sports, sell your team up.
Selling your team out, yeah.
And not even for fixing a game.
Yeah. Like this, you just didn't want to play.
Yeah, you just didn't want to be out there anymore. Well, there's a lot of guys that did want to be out there.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys that...
Shout out the pitcher's ERA jammed up, too.
I was just going to say, yeah, how about that pitcher? What is he going to think of that? You just got him shelled,
yeah.
and he may stay in single A because of it. You know, good thing this was all exposed, because that would have rested on the pitcher not your dumbass, if you would have gotten away with it.
I'm surprised the umpire didn't just be like, hey, because he's standing right over him.
Yeah. Well, a lot of talking going on. A lot of talking going on. And, like, I'm sure that the Fort Myers team, it says in the second inning they scored four runs. Mm-hmm. I bet the entire first inning they're like, I don't believe you. Like, they think they're going to, like,
he's
Bull Durham-ing,
yeah,
right? He's going to sit there and he's going to tell me exactly what's going to happen. And this pitcher's so good that I can't hit it. No, he's actually just telling you exactly where to hit the ball. And then the second inning they go off for four runs. Huh. Weird.
Yeah.
Weird. So after the first three outs, they're like, hey, believe the catcher.
He's telling you.
He's telling you exactly what's happening. That's bonkers.
So insane.
But he does have teammates that are riding for him and saying he is a good guy. People make mistakes. I don't know if this mistake is going to help you at all with your career. I don't know a team that would touch him. Honestly, team that would touch him at this
crazy.
Point.
But if he can hit, Mariners, hey, maybe give him a call.
Hey, maybe.
Just saying.
Maybe.
Better have a scumbag that can hit, and then nobody can hit.
They got the big dumper. They don't need him. They don't need him.
I know. I'm just saying. Yeah. They need bats.
They got the dumper.
Badly. Coming up next, Colorado, Nebraska. The butt kicking continues. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Now, I think of this as Halloween, not Friday the 13th.
Well, look, I was a little bit up against it. Trying to find our spooky music playlist.
We're 6 weeks out. Now.
I'll allow it.
It's Friday the 13th, like, in the fall.
Yeah,
so
it's just, you know, it's just spooky.
Yeah. Boris.
Yeah. Deion Sanders has been better over the last couple days and not talking.
Really?
Yeah. Sure. I didn't hurt him. Have you?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. He fell for a troll bit on Twitter.
Oh.
He gave T's and P's up to Cam Rising, the Utah quarterback.
Yeah.
Said how great of it. It's terrible to see the injury that he's got, because somebody on the internet started a rumor that caught fire that Cam Rising's hand injury is actually an infection. And that it's,
I did hear that. Yeah. He got it. Yeah.
It's going to be like debilitating. And so Deion like made this tweet. And then had to retweet himself and say, my bad. Still, good guy, Cam Rising.
Okay. Maybe
he got got by an internet troll.
Oh, maybe he should use his own internet troll son to control some things. As Deion Sanders Jr. Tweeted and deleted, which, as a social media manager, know that once you push send, it does not matter.
People don't forget.
They never forget. And like, it's literally your job to do this. Understand, he tweeted out, I have hours of footage of actual coaches and players talking crazy to us before every single game, but I don't ever use it because that's how you're supposed to feel. And I won't post something that'll have somebody lose their job. That's weak as hell. You don't have anything that's going to have anybody lose their job. Stop.
No.
Stop.
Well, he might, but at the same time,
other teams have the
same. Is he indicating that Shiloh has lost his job? Because this was in response to the Nebraska video where Shiloh Sanders was at midfield telling him, we're going to whip your ass.
And then they were down 28-0.
And this is the same thing. Like, this is the second time this happened. Because remember, Oregon.
We don't talk. We don't say anything. And then Oregon. Look, Oregon social media, that was the perfect, just the graph had spiked on F around and find out.
Yep.
Like, there was nowhere further you could take the vertices of that graph than what Oregon did with the social media of that.
Yeah.
They play for clicks, though we don't talk, and then during the game, dropping the video of them chirping. I mean, that was just, not only are we going to beat the living hell out of you, we're going to embarrass you.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be that hard, and they don't make it that way, and yet, it seems like every week this family makes it so that it's possible, whether it's Shiloh, whether it's Shador, whether it's Deion, whether it's Deion Jr., every single one of these freaking people finds a way to see how their foot tastes.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, look, I like guys who get spicy and talk and chirp. I have never, ever, ever had an issue with it. Back it up.
Do you think that they are that delusional to think that they're that good, though?
Yes.
Because the film just doesn't tell that story. ever.
Look, if you're Shador, okay. If you're Shador, okay. Shiloh, no, because you're not playing on any other FBS team as a starter, dude. The fact that we were getting injury updates on Shiloh's broken forearm, like it was like the starting safety for the Bills had just broken his arm in a Thursday night game, was the stupidest thing ever. Because Shiloh Sanders playing or not saying is not going to mean a damn thing to anybody outside of the Sanders family.
No. I wonder who is leading the power rankings of Sanders kids now. That Deion, he does rank.
Oh, yes.
And Deion Jr. was at number one, remember, because mm-hmm. he was doing a great job with the socials. I feel like this affects his social media ranking.
But, you know?
I feel like Deion traded away his first round pick, and now everything starts at two.
Yeah.
Not all hype is good hype.
No.
Especially when, look, you have to have a win sometime.
They get Colorado State this week.
No, I'm not even just talking about like an actual win, but I mean like a proverbial win.
They are touchdown favorites in Fort Collins.
Against Pac-12 future Colorado State Rams?
Ooh, yeah. They're going to count this?
A team that took them to triple overtime last year?
Was it triple?
Was it triple overtime?
I don't know. I remember it was overtime.
I know it was closer than it needed to be.
Yup. And what Colorado State did was they took the fight to Colorado. And Colorado wanted none of that smoke.
Double overtime.
Double? Two?
Double.
Yeah, still a good
43-35. Game. 43-35.
Yeah. Still a good game.
That was insane.
You can get in the door tickets as low as $137 for that game. And this is why everybody that's like, oh, the Deion experiment, he's going to get fired. No, he won't. Nobody's talked about Colorado football more in the last 30 years than right now.
Unless he does something ridiculously stupid and like you just can't explain it away and they're not firing
and
him.
Yes,
he might leave.
I am talking, I said 30 years because that's when they were like national championship relevant.
Westbrook.
Well, I do remember when they were playing for Big 12 titles like 20 years ago. I still think this is the most relevant they've been in 30 years.
Sure. Since they got the extra fourth down. Was that it?
I think that was over 30 years ago now.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 30 years ago, in my mind, still is like the 1970s.
Yeah, no, it's...
So, it's 1994.
Yeah. 30 years ago.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Which was... Yeah.
God.
That's when I graduated high school.
Yeah.
I'm old.
You are. Well, good luck to them against Colorado State. They're not going to have Shiloh.
Yeah, it turns out difficult to play with a broken forearm.
And I think also after week one, we were sitting there going, hey, Travis Hunter continues to put up numbers like he did against North Dakota State. Like he's going to win the Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because he put up insane numbers last week too.
But it was it was so garbage time that it didn't matter.
It
wasn't even remotely competitive.
I think that people are just going to look at it and be like,
this is all empty numbers that are juiced.
And that's exactly what they are.
This is going to be the first time in college football history where we're going to have like an NBA player comp of like good player, bad team, like juice stats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is he that good? Or is his stat, or was it like somebody had to throw him the ball and somebody had to catch the ball?
Yeah. I mean, think of it. He's averaging 8.5 catches and 121 yards a game.
Yeah, I think he's second in the Big 12 in touchdown catches.
And 1.5 touchdowns per game. Yeah. I mean, if you go...
Well, also playing corner.
If you extrapolate that into a 12-game schedule, you're going, dear Lord, his numbers are going to be absolutely astronomical.
You're talking about an NFL season. You're having 100 catches and 1,400 yards and, 15 touchdowns?
That's a lot of foosball that he's gonna be
those are, like you're doing NFL numbers in 12 games.
It's 102 catches.
Yeah.
And it is 1,452 yards.
My math's pretty good, Dusty.
Yeah. But I'm using exact numbers here. Yeah. If he goes down that road, that is nuts. And I don't think it'd be good enough.
Which is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
What was the Crabtree season? What did he have, like 1,500 yards receiving, something like that?
No idea.
But I mean, if he could have damn near those numbers and not have it matter.
Yeah. Well, and something tells me he'll shut it down if this season goes sideways like we all expect it to.
Right.
Focus on the NFL. Yep.
Speaking of NFL, that's exactly where we're going to go next. We have the NFL slate to dive into in the hour number three. We also have Jeff Ross coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.